is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I despise Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
It is Friday.
Na, 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 sign, sealed, delivered.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday to ya. It's Bran. It's Panda. It's Dan. It's Deck the Hallmark. Yo! Wah, wah, wah. Man. Get to Friday cooking.
Who is that?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I'm Toasted Ted.
Toasted Ted.
Okay.
My job?
No one asked.
It's the toasting.
You know what I hate is what? The postables who have been even
amazing.
Even to me on Twitter, just so kind. In my dislike of the first episode of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, they have to sit through Friday bits, and nothing hits like a Friday bit. And we practice those bits all week.
Nothing doesn't hit like a Friday.
That's right. That's true. No, that's true. That's true. I mean, we were all over the map for 20 minutes last week. We did a bit where we watched the wrong show called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered about pizza delivery that turned into a musical about Amway and the poor postables. That happened. Yeah, but the poor postables, they're here, and they're kind, and they're ready for us to review their show, and we
and end up Shane
with Toasted Ted. Oh, Shane, Kristen Booth retweeted us. She listened.
That's amazing.
So, I mean,
God bless you. I believe, said it was entertaining.
Yes, there's no way she actually listened. Now that I think of it, maybe she just heard the clip. Because there's no way Kristen Booth got through the first 10 minutes.
Kristen Booth, if you are listening.
That's right.
I want you to tweet that you are a big fan of Toaster Ted.
That's right. Yep.
You're a Toaster Ted stan. I saw
Toaster Ted stan live, and they were something.
Rig?
Oh, yeah. They're coming.
They coming to 50s?
Six pieces in that.
Whoa! Band. Is there a limit?
Horn section. Here's the thing is, they started off as Toadstool Ted, and there's a bunch of guys named Ted dressed up as Toadstools from the Mario Brothers.
Yep.
And then they added a horn section, and they liked the toast, so they just switched it.
Great.
Good talk, everybody.
Thank you.
You know what they are? Cool. I just heard they're missing one member of their band, and so it's going to be a five-piece.
They're missing.
They're missing the guy.
What guy?
My pants.
Rig
has done it this week.
Yeah,
we didn't have Rig for a year this week. Yeah, why have we done that much Rig?
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy.
Too much.
Yeah, we're trying to get it all the way early so we can silence them for a while. That's the contract.
Hey, guys, can I ask you a question really quick? Yeah. I keep pondering.
Please.
You guys know the Jack Donkey Butt movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Is it actually coming out this year?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the previews for since pre-COVID.
So the Kingsman finally came out. I feel like we're finally getting somewhere.
I feel like I saw a preview for this before COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
it is. It is coming out because he's wrestling in WrestleMania.
Who is
our guy who does the Jack shows?
Steve-O?
Yeah, no, the other guy,
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, that's the
definitely
guy.
Not Bam.
He's going to be non WrestleMania. I said WrestleMania, Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you don't.
He's in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He is.
That makes a lot more sense.
The movie. He's promoting the movie.
Wow.
So. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yes.
It's something. I'm glad we got there from
here. Yeah. Well, I keep thinking about it.
Yeah.
I keep just running in my head. Like, how many times are we going to do this? And here we are. Here we are still doing it. Never been a fan.
Yeah.
Me either.
Doesn't really work for me either.
But we should probably do something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We wouldn't last long.
Don't act like you guys don't love it.
We don't love it, Trace.
Before Take the Hallmark, you start a podcast.
I can't. I just talked about how they're good people, Brent.
What?
Okay, what we started a podcast. What was it called?
It was called
Donkey Butt. Was it called Donkey Butt?
Yeah.
I thought it was. I thought it was called Donkey Butt.
Got a clip.
Donkey Butt. Guys, how about Steve-O this week, huh? He did the stuff.
He did, didn't he? Man.
It was so crazy.
There are places you shouldn't put a Roman candle.
I've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Butt. We were really only big on the the theme song. Everything else about that show we didn't really care about. It was clear we weren't passionate about that project. But the theme song, we got really excited about when we heard it.
I remember the day we wrote it. You came in and you were like, I got this. I'll be honest.
We had never seen an episode before. We didn't know. But once we kind of wrote the song, everything else.
Because Panda was the one who was like, donkey. And he just said donkey over and over again. Yeah. And then I was like,
donkey, donk.
And I threw a butt in there.
You always do. It's a butt.
And we wrote Donkey Butt. And from that point forward, we were looking for a way. And then we found the show.
Yeah. And we didn't really like it.
But we nailed it.
But we were hooked on phonics at that point, right?
Hooked guys? On Donkey Butt.
donkey butt.
Donkey Butt.
It's a good song.
That's so funny.
It's a good song.
It's late at night.
It's a good song. All right, guy.
We should never record four of these. That's the problem.
Episode one. What's the name of it? Do you guys know? Think about, you know, the older people.
Kiss from a Rose.
That's the good one.
Delivered. Stamp it.
Stamp it. I like that.
No, it's time to start living.
I was going to change my answer.
What were you going
to change? Cash on delivery.
Cash on delivery?
Yeah. Okay. COD, baby.
Okay, great. No.
No, it was not.
It's time to start living. It originally aired on April 20th, mm-hmm.
2014.
We got a guy?
Have we sold 2014, Trace?
Yes.
Of course we have.
All right. April 20th,
2014. 2014. Oh, I like the good stuff, baby. Rip roaring ready to go.
What's your name, 2014?
Rippy.
Your name is Rippy?
That's why I said rip roaring ready to go. That was your first clue.
Were there other clues?
Rippy Morgan at your service. I'm here to eat ribs and call dibs on 2014.
You paid for it, though. You don't have to call dibs. You paid for the year. You're here to eat ribs.
Called dips.
And call dips.
On 2014.
You heard me, sweet pea. Lip smacking good.
Do you have a rib place or something that you're promoting?
I'll never tell.
Then probably not, right? If he's not promoting the rib place, he probably doesn't have a rib place, right?
He could.
There's no way he has a rib place.
He could have a rib place.
Rippy Morgan. What in the world?
Is it Rippy?
That's what he said.
It's not Ribby?
No, Rippy Morgan. Okay.
All right. And it went a little something like this. The episode kicks off with some kid named Owen who's sneaking out of his house to go mail a letter. His parents can't find him. He comes back in and he's like, don't call me Owen. All right, kid. We meet back up with the crew, and Oliver tells Shane that he's not going to tell her what he did over the weekend because that's too personal. What we did in the movie with the whole, like, exchanging life stories, no more of that.
Not today.
They find out that there's this lady who is going to be the new supervisor, and apparently she's a legend in the mail world. I know a few of the legends in the mail world. We have Scooter McGavern.
Yeah.
Tom Tessalot. Tom Tessalot. Hampton.
Indovin.
Those are all the ones I know.
Yeah. Tom Tessalot. Whoa, legend.
The Blizzard of 90, what was it? 98.
Eight. Yeah.
Amazing what he did.
What he did.
So, my mail didn't get delivered today.
Mine didn't either, but it was because it was a holiday.
Oh, so they'll be out tomorrow.
They'll be out tomorrow. Now they're ready to sleep. Yep.
Wow. So they find out that there's this, she's going to be a new supervisor, legend. She tells them, I don't remember her name at this point. I probably should have wrote it. She seems like she's going to be important. I didn't think so at the time, so I didn't write it down. She tells them that she's going to watch what they do. You know, just kind of take a look, just take some notes. What are you guys up to over here? So they take the letter. It's that boy from the beginning. We find out that the boy really misses his grandma. And he tells her that he's going to sneak out at 9 p.m. and ride his bike until he gets there. And he says that you have to call me Owen now. What does this mean? They figure out where it was supposed to go. and that's a 30-mile bike ride. He's doing it tonight. He's doing it tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
No time to delay. So they go to the retirement home, and since they only have the name of the grandma, they don't have any more information, they ask a bunch of old people if anyone calls them grandma. Surprisingly enough, no one is called grandma until they find a room of people that are called grandma.
It's grandma club.
It's grandma club. Listen, you call grandma? Come on into this club. What are you called? What are you called?
Granddad.
Get out. What are you called?
He's not listening. He's not paying attention.
What are you called?
He just popped up like, oh no.
What are you called?
What are you called?
I'm Grandpappy.
Get out.
Get out.
What are you called?
Babe.
Get out. Is anyone called grandma? What are you called? What are you called?
I'm called grandma. Great. Just read the dumb synopsis. You got any ribs in that bag?
What bag?
Don't tell me you don't see that bag over there.
What bag?
I want a bag of ribs.
So there is no bag?
There's a bag of ribs right next to you.
There's no bag. There is.
No, the bag. I see it.
Where's the bag?
I think you know, Brent.
It's a bag of ribs?
Just read the synopsis, Brent. This is lunacy.
All right, they find out that the lady doesn't really remember
what
anything.
What are you called?
Grandma.
Okay, you can stay.
It is not for everyone. Almost for no one. Unless you're grandma. Then you love it. So they find out that they find this one lady who doesn't really remember much, but she does have a birthday coming up. So maybe that, you know, why the kid was coming. He's coming for birthday times. But she sees the envelope and she's like, you've wasted your time. I don't know anything about this nonsense. Her name is Vivian. She's very frazzled and she tells him to skedaddle. You're not named grandma. Get. But she clearly knows more than she's letting on. Later they put together that they think that the head of the retirement home was trying to cover something up. You know, because she was there and Vivian was acting all scattered. And so they decide, we got to go get her alone so she'll tell us the truth. So they go back, they find her in her room, and she comes clean. Apparently, Owen, the family, they're in witness protection program. Turns out that the lady, I guess, in charge of the nursing home is a criminal. Uh-oh. And Owen saw her doing a drug deal or something. Again, I don't know. Anyway... they hatch a plan to bust her, to bust Vivian out, and so she could go see her grandson. The drug lady, Druggy McDrugson, stops her on the way out and, like, pats her down and steals the letter, which has all the important information needed to find the kid. They set up a trap, though, and send her to the wrong house. These guys are smart. You're smart guys. You're not your normal. This isn't Scooby-Doo nonsense. What's your name? What do you go by?
Dee Dee.
Get up. So, she's got a gun and everything, and the cops show up and they're like, busted. So now they're trying to find the kid, Owen, whatever his real name is. They find him on a bike, reunited, and it feels so good. The episode ends with the new supervisor, who's clearly going to be a very important part of the show, doing a Broadway number with a bunch of grandmas. And that, my friends, was signed, sealed, delivered. Time to start living. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here on
Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. We're talking signed, sealed.
I hate to hop in and make things serious for a second, but the woman who I believe is in charge now at the post office, neither of you recognize who we were dealing with there?
No, I have no idea.
No, you didn't.
She go by grandma?
She does not. Can't stay here. That is Valerie Harper. She played Rhoda on the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Great.
She's a big deal. Okay. She's a big get for a show like this. And
sure.
So that's
okay. Great. Yeah. She looked vaguely familiar. Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry. Great. Thank you for that.
You can continue.
Thank you. Yep. All right. Let's start with the hot take. And I'm very excited, by the way, for those of you that didn't listen to the first one, we do have Postmate of the Week, which I'm very excited about. Later on in this episode, we're going to spotlight a different postal worker.
I've not been more embarrassed about anything we've done on this show ever.
We did it once, and we are pot committed.
We're not, though. We don't have to be pot committed.
It's like the Grandma Club. Like once you,
it's a bad idea.
Let's start with a hot take. Let's start with my good friend Panda. Panda, what's your take and what's your hot?
Guys, week two, signed, sealed, delivered, crushing it. I love it. This was amazing. You know why it's amazing? First of all, still loving the cast of characters. There's a plot twist in this episode where the family is in witness protection. I didn't see it coming. Didn't expect it. Kept me engaged. It takes all the things I liked from the movie and then condenses it down into 42 minutes. What a joy. This show makes my heart sing, and that's where I'm at right now. Full singing.
Full singing. Do it. Full you won't singing. Sing it.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
That's good stuff, man. You got pipes.
So good. Best ever.
So, yeah.
I like it.
I think we got enough there, buddy.
Hey, what do you go by?
Grandma.
Come on. Yeah, so I was obviously very high last week. Best thing Hallmark's ever made. I'm not as high on this one as I was on that one. I think there was something about the romance. You guys hated the romantic. I kind of like that. So the kid with the thing and the grandma, like I wasn't as invested in that storyline. But Penny, the crew here is they're just fantastic. I love this crew. And we're only two visual things, one movie, one episode, also known as two visual things. Yep. Into this.
You can just say two episodes.
Two visual things. And like I'm over here like when that at the end of I guess I could save it for the feels. But I'm feeling real things for these people. And I'm only getting two visual things with them. So I'm on this journey. I'm here for it. I don't know if it's too early to call me a postable. I don't know if what we have to do. I don't know if there's like
they already said we're all postables or we'll become one.
Do we get like badges? Are there stamps? Like what do we got going on here?
I don't know. Do they send us something in the mail?
Send us 1211 Lauren Road Suite C, Greenville, South Carolina.
Rando letter to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan?
So, you know, the first one wasn't my thing, and
but you appreciated it.
I liked Oliver and Shane, and I thought there was potential there. But I found myself sitting down to watch this episode, being kind of excited to see what would happen.
Oh boy!
And maybe it's just because I just watched Wind Calls the Heart.
That could be.
But I was like, okay, let's see what happens when this thing is in its groove. And much to my chagrin, it was worse.
Oh.
It just was worse. I don't know if that's the 42 minutes, but it felt like something that wouldn't make the cut on like CBS in the 90s. Like it just felt dated.
It was an interesting storyline for the first one.
It's a bad first episode. Like we don't get any of the delving into the characters that makes it interesting. We get a really dumb plot line where for some reason, they're placing people in witness protection in the same town that they witnessed the crime in.
Well, 30 miles away.
It was unfortunate because I actually somehow sat down and I was like, I'm kind of excited to watch this. And instead, it was worse, man. It was bad television and I hated that and it's disappointing. Now, the postables are telling me on the Twitter, and they've been super kind, and so I hate this. They're telling me that the next episode is the one. The next episode is the one where everybody jumps on board as a postable.
Whoa.
Like, it's the thing. Like, it's the highest-rated IMDb user-rated episode of the TV series.
Wow, okay.
And so I'm here to give it another shot, but this was disappointing. It was bad television. It was way more interesting than Wind Calls the Heart. But make no mistake, the Oliver Shane component that I love so much was placed on the back burner. The rest of the characters, let's call them Hudson Hawk and Kitty Terrace, they were whatever. And then the plot line was bad. I just, I just was disappointed, woefully disappointed. And so I'm sorry, everyone, because whereas the Hardys, it's kind of fun to not like it. This is not fun because I think everyone is genuinely a good person that tends to like this show. And I just, woof, it was bad. It was bad TV, and I'm not really excited about watching any further. But I'll give it a third shot. It's a three strikes, you're out policy because this was worse than the premiere.
Where are you going?
I guess I'll give it as many shots as there's movies left.
Man.
But yeah, not good, guys. Not good. Not good TV. I don't know how you stand by this is good TV. Even you were diminished. I can't believe you liked it more. Did you like it more because it was shorter? You liked it more than the first one?
Not more than the first one, but okay. I think I just appreciate the world that they created. I wasn't comparing this to anything other than because I think I just instantly was like, okay, this isn't going to be the movie, right? Like in my mind, okay, you had the movie, and then this is even though it's to me it was just you have the same world, which I'm all in. I'm all in on these characters, except it's a shorter time frame and it's going to be more of a kind of a procedural kind of thing. I'm in. As many as you want to throw at me, I'm digging this. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, I did. I wasn't comparing it to the movie previously because in my mind, the one establishes everything we need to know, and the next one's going to be just continuing and giving us glimpses of what it is.
It is a great
The movie is considered a pilot, though. It's considered the pilot of the TV show. So it is not supposed to be a pilot. That's why I was, you know.
Well, from a pilot, if you're expecting this to like, it's a weird pilot though, because they really don't tell you any sort of backstory on it. So it really did, in my opinion, hinge on the movie quite heavily. Because if it's a pilot,
it comes episode, out months this, after the this, movie.
No, very I mean, confusing. I mean, the movie was a pilot. The movie was considered a pilot, not a movie. Okay, it's considered movie, an episode of TV.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, I think that is true, but also weird because it's months late.
I just found this to be a very watered down, super derivative version of the movie, which was at the very least fully realized, and this was not. It was a mess.
Okay. All the feels. Let's talk about it. Panda?
The very end where, I'm still learning their names. Oh, what's that guy's name? Norman. When Norman loses his friend who gives him the stamp collection, that tugged my heart, man.
Buddy.
He met her twice.
No, what? But they bonded over stamps.
I would also say it seems to me
go to the dump. Go to the dump and stay there. That's where you belong.
Dan, this is why you're wrong. This is why Dan's wrong on this, is because Norman seems to be the type who, even though they only met twice, he doesn't, I don't think, have a lot of friends. And I think it also, he feels very deeply and he feels very emotional. He makes strong connections with people and they had this bond over something. So to me, that was completely possible, especially with Norman's character. I'm here for it. I loved it. And I think that you do see some character development with Norman. They're fleshing out who he is a little bit more. I loved it. It tugged at my heartstrings, and I love Norman. He's wonderful.
That's right, Panda. That's what I had as well. Like, I felt it with him. Because, listen, it's like the one thing in life that we know that he's passionate about is mail. And he meets somebody who has all these amazing stamps.
Yep.
What are you looking at me?
Shut up.
You don't even believe what you're saying.
No, I do believe it, but you're a dump man here in the flesh. Go back to the dump. You stink. I don't want you here anymore. Bring back Riblet or whatever his name is. Riblet's big day.
Didn't see that coming. Man.
What do you got? Anything?
I didn't, guys. I searched my heart, found nothing. It's a dumb storyline. Witness protection, old folks home. Now, it just didn't work for me. None of it worked for me. I mean, seeing Valerie Harper do her thing, rest in peace. She died, I think, 3 years ago. That was cool, I guess. And seeing her sing, kind of, that was fun. I mean, like,
Scene was fun, too.
It was a bad first episode. You could hide this at 8 or 9 after you've won me over, and I may not have minded as much, but I'm not won over yet. And it just wasn't good television. Like, this is something like when I was a teenager, my parents, I feel like, would turn on like a Sunday night to make me watch instead of what I wanted to watch. That's what it felt like to me.
Wow.
Sorry.
Touched by an angel?
Yeah. Except worse. Worse than that.
Yeah. Sorry. Let's take a quick break. and we'll do the Wait What's and the Postal Worker of the Week here on Deck. Don't Work. We're back, everybody. We're talking about Sign, Seal, Deliver. Time to start living. It's time for the Wait What. And nobody knows how to live like my good friend Panda.
That's true.
He's the definition of living, baby.
Also has a stamp collection and is days away.
I did have a stamp collection. And so,
did you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Every birthday that we get to celebrate with Panda is a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. We don't know how many more we're going to get. But I hope that I get your stamp collection because we bonded over that, all the feels. Go ahead, pal.
Don't worry. Listen, it's just going to probably end up being my Wait What every week. I'm just getting a sense of that. But the way they do things is the least efficient thing.
Yes.
And it really does it, this week, the thing that they do this week that is just really baffling to me is the whole asking each person what they're called, the grandma thing. This is, you could call somebody in and have a group meeting. You really could.
Yeah.
And you could get this handled in one. Hey, does anyone here have a grandkid named Owen, or does anyone here have just be called
Spoons.
Grandma?
But instead,
Spoons. I just, there's a simpler way instead of going to every single person and just asking them. And that just, that's tough. That is, it was tough to watch that scene because it didn't make a lot of sense. And especially when time's ticking and you know that the event is going to occur that night.
Yeah.
That was a little tricky. Their lack of efficiency, I'm not an efficient person by any stretch of the imagination, but they really take the cake and it was tough to watch that. That's my only one. Otherwise it's airtight game.
If you would have put up a clock like they do in 24 in this episode, it would have just made no sense because I feel like they took days to do something in hours. Like, it was just, how do we take the longest amount of time to solve this riddle?
Well, I actually thought it took multiple days because they go and they go for the spoons and then they come back and
that's the same day.
Yeah, I saw that same day.
Same day. That whole bonding with the stamp woman. Same day.
Yeah, you see, that's tough. That's
well, the show later, I think, was maybe another day.
But but the show, she's not alive at the show.
Right.
No, okay. She's dead by that point. Yeah,
died by that point. Owen, let's talk, buddy.
What's his real name?
Fred, I don't know. But Owen, let's talk, buddy. I haven't snuck out a lot. And by a lot, I mean I never did. But one thing I do know is when you sneak out, you sneak back in. What you don't do is sneak out the window and then walk back through the front door.
No, that's not how the sneak out works. No, you get caught that
that's
way.
That's not how a sneak out works, Owen.
Don't sneak out like that.
Owen, that's on you, pal. You can't get mad at your parents for calling you Owen.
That's right.
For being a dummy with the sneak out and the sneak in. Maybe you guys can tell me about this. But so Drug Lady, who is like a manager at the retirement community, so does she know when she's working there, when she took that job, did she know who Vivian was? Did Vivian know who she was?
My understanding here is that this would be a What the Hallmark, but we instead have the Postal Service Worker of the Week.
Yes.
The way it was intimated in the show to me is that she takes that job after the crime has been committed.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's right.
That's why.
And she takes that job because she knows that Owen, I don't know what his real name is.
Fred.
That Fred's grandma is there somewhere, but she doesn't know which one she is. And that is why all of the grandmas are in one room together, because she has culled down a list of who it could be.
Oh, wow.
And they're in that room together.
That's good.
That is, which is good and also the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No background check on this woman. Smart enough to change her complete identity, learn all these people's names, and not smart enough to figure out to crack the grandma case. What?
I think she did. I interpreted.
But grandma knows who she is.
No.
Then why would all the grandmas be in the same room?
I think grandma is trying her best not to give anything away in case somebody else is. She's not supposed to. She says, I'm not supposed to talk about this.
The only reason all the grandmas are in the same room on that day is she catches wind. No. Someone's looking around for grandmas.
The only reason all the people in the same room would be grandmas, in my opinion, aside from the dumbest coincidence of all time or some club that you mentioned, is that this woman who committed a crime and somehow got this job has found out that this dude has...
Right. What I'm saying is, does Vivian know who she is?
The worker that's the criminal. So, no, she doesn't.
Then why does she have all the grandmas together? Why does she have a...
Who's Vivian? Is Vivian the grandma?
Vivian's the grandma.
Yeah. Vivian knows that whomever, one of those women in that room is the person she's looking for, and she can't narrow down any further.
No, Vivian's the old lady.
Okay. Vivian does not know who the worker is.
Then why does she have all the grandmas together?
Why does Vivian?
I think she absolutely, she absolutely knew.
Vivian gets all the grandmas together. They're planning the thing.
But she's directing the play. The woman is directing the play. They're all in there with her. She called the meeting. Vivian didn't call that meeting.
No, but what I'm saying is, why are all the grandmas together?
Because the woman that committed the crime and then got the job has put them all in that room, made a reason to do it.
So she got all the grandmas.
She's trying to figure it out, yes.
No, she already knows. They established that she already knows who the grandma is, and she knows all she's doing is she's waiting for the lady to go ahead.
She's waiting. Okay, she's waiting for it. Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah, they established that.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
So she's willing to commit all these crimes. She's willing to commit all these crimes, but she's just now not willing to break into the room, not willing to she's waiting for evidence.
She thinks the best thing to do is to wait out an elderly woman.
For evidence in an old folks home. That is just colossally dumb.
It's not. I think that she doesn't know. She's waiting for something to be, somebody to slip up and to share something. She knows the grandma. She's waiting for the grandma to go ahead and, share some sort of information. And so when they come and it turns out to be the letter, she's like, okay, I have to get this. This is the thing that she's been waiting for. Because, they're witnesses.
But hear me out. No, hear me out. As soon as this all takes place, and then if she knows who she is, which everybody in the chat, BrambleJamPlus.com, agrees with you, and I clearly they've watched the show. I would concede that in a heartbeat. But as soon as the team meets Vivian, and she goes, "No, never heard of him." What this woman just stands by and watches that happen, knowing that the card is her card.
She's trying to get it for sure. I mean, that's why she ends up stealing it at one point, right?
But she lets them walk out with the card. She never, Oliver and Shane and the gang look and go, "Are you sure?" And then this woman who's been waiting for this moment her whole life doesn't go, "Vivian, maybe you're misremembering, take the card," or something. Or just go, "Yes." Or maybe say, "Hey, this is Vivian. Her memory's not great. I can get her the card. Oh, you want to give it directly to her because it's her mail? Great. We can do that in person. She may not remember you." Instead, she just lets them all walk out with the card?
It does appear that way.
That's terrible.
Well,
bad.
I don't think it's that bad. It checked out to me.
Yeah.
It
checked out. It's
airtight. Airtight, he says.
That's all that I got.
First of all, this is the most unrealistic facility I've ever seen for people. Elderly folks, it's unbelievably nice, and everyone knows everyone's name, and everyone does an amazing job. And if it was one of those senior citizen facilities that had curling and a swimming pool, I get it. But this seems to be a nursing home, but just I don't know what it is. I don't know what this facility is. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like it's too good to be true on a number of fronts. I also think it's weird that what's the girl's name that's not Shane and Oliver and the other two, what are the other two's names? I can't ever remember their names.
It's Norman and
Rita.
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 No,
it's Rita.
Rita.
Just straight up.
So Rita goes in this woman's room. She sees the wind chimes that are just spoons, sees them, says nothing, does nothing. Hours later, she's like, "Oh yeah, spoons. You're fired. You're fired. We've all read the letter, Rita. Your job is to go read the room and look for clues. There's a freaking wind chime made of spoons. That's got to be first on your report, Rita. You can't forget about that till hours later. You can't do it. That's a mistake. Maybe send somebody else. Maybe Rita shouldn't be held responsible for that. That's real bad. I want to point out for Oliver, opening mail, no go. Breaking and entering in an old folks' home, on board. On board with that.
Wow.
Just full B&E. Just goes on in, doesn't get the invite, just heading on in, because that's what he's doing. You know, somehow Norman has a case. They put this line in here to make it seem realistic what happens later in this, but I just want to paint this picture for you. He says he's packing a case of things he may need, which Lord knows could be anything. They could be in any situation in the world. The case is a suitcase. Now, later on, he has to act as though he has shut down traffic to divert this woman to get her to go by the house with the wind chimes that they've placed out front. So what he does in this case, he doesn't know what they're doing. When he packs that case to leave, he doesn't know what they're doing. He doesn't know what the plan is. In that case, he has a hard hat, he has a vest, he has 8 inflatable cones and flares to shoot up in the sky. What?
Yeah. No, he's good.
That case is magical.
No, that's Norman for you, though.
That's Mary Poppins' bag. That's Santa's sack. That's a case that keeps on casing right there.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way around that. They're just case that keeps on casing. I want to say that if this woman who's on the lam from the law and is hiding in plain sight as a worker in an old folks home, that's impressive enough. But she also is successfully directing the play, which I find fascinating, is they trust her as someone who is doing a really solid job. Like, what did she do before she committed a crime? Like, because she's passing as someone who's like a director of one of these homes and also can direct the play, which is very, very impressive.
It's a passion project.
It's a passion project, for sure. It's passion a passion project. And yeah, I'll just stop there for now.
All right. Everybody has been asking for this. We got so much good feedback.
Dear gracious.
On the postal worker of the week, where we spotlight a postal worker and just kind of show you their story. And it's beautiful, really. Panda, you do the Google. You do the Google Plus for this as well, I believe.
Absolutely.
Which is great. Who do we have today, Dan? Postal worker of the week.
We have this is Derek O'Malley. Derek O'Malley is who.
Great. Where's he from?
He is from Titusville, Florida, if you can believe it.
3-2-1, baby. 3-2-1.
Postal worker for 38 years.
Wow. And what's his postal number?
6125, and then the pound sign, and then a 5 again.
Phenomenal. It's just unbelievable. Panda, what do you got on Derek O'Malley?
Oh, Derek has been doing this, and what he says he loves to do more than anything is to open the packages before he delivers them.
That would get him fired, wouldn't it?
You would think so, but he seals it up real good afterwards, he says, and he says he sometimes does it better than the first time.
Is he concerned about going public with this?
38 years. He could lose his pension because the post office benefits are
this is, if there's one thing I've learned from Signed, Sealed, Delivered, it's that mail like this, you don't do this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But they did change his voice for this interview, so he's going to be a little bit harder to track.
Right.
Okay. Derek O'Malley with us. Derek, how you doing?
Hello! Derek Mofos!
Now, clearly we've modulated your voice, Derek.
Yeah!
So that people... Even though we know your postal number and Titusville, Florida,
right,
and you've been there 38 right years, which would narrow it down right to one person. Right. Why have you chosen to modulate your voice?
It's fun, baby!
Are you at all concerned maybe your pension and benefits, that the post office, amazing. They're amazing benefits, right?
So tell me if I'm wrong, what a pension is. So a pension is where you put your pens when you're done with them. It's a pension.
That didn't make any sense, Derek.
What's a pension?
You get a lot of money for the rest of your life when you retire. But if you've opened up a bunch of packages and repacked them, you're not going to get that. They're going to fire you with cause.
Well, what happens to my pins?
I think your pins are going to be okay.
Well, they got Derek out.
Derek O'Malley, everybody.
Wow.
What a way to end
another
it.
Man. Great postal worker of the week.
No.
Guys, enjoy the week, and we'll be back on Monday with, you guys have been clamoring for this one, Remember the Night 1940 movie. Mm-hmm. Me and Alonzo, part of the 25 Weeks of Christmas. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.